Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, garden author, horticulturist, consultant. I love helping people with their yards, their landscapes. I love designing landscapes. And it's just a wonderful place here in Florida to be for gardening. And if you have gardening questions, this is where you can come and ask. And we love to have you in with us, and we love gardeners of all kinds. So I am going to start. Usually the first part of the program is the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is in celebration of the Florida Wildflower Festival. It is native and related words. So native plant is the official U.S. government definition given by the Natural Resources and Conservation Service. It defines native plants as a plant that is part of the balance of nature that has developed over hundreds of thousands or thousands of years in a particular region or ecosystem. The word native should always be used with a geographic qualifier that is native to Florida. Only plants found in this country before European settlement are considered to be native native to the United States. We can discuss that later. Now, a non-native plant is a plant that was introduced with human help to a new place or a new habitat where it was not previously found. A naturalized plant is a non-native plant that does not need human help to maintain itself over time in an area where it is not native. Naturalized plants are not native plants. Cultivar means a plant that was selected by plant breeders for certain characteristics that are maintained during propagation. So remember, a cultivar does not come true to seed and needs continued human-mediated propagation to continue. You can tell a cultivar by its scientific name, which begins with its genus, and that's the Latin name for it, followed by its species, and then its cultivar name in quotation marks. Examples are Rosa Mr. Lincoln or Rosa Julia Child. Now, a nativar is a new word, and it is a cultivar of a native plant. For example, there is the dwarf firebush Hamelia patens callosa or Hamelia patens compacta. It provides a tighter, compact form as compared to the native firebush. A hybrid is a plant produced by crossing genetic materials from two different species. They are not cultivars, but you can have cultivars of a hybrid. For example, Lavender X Intermedia is a hybrid cross between Lavender Angustifolia, which is English lavender, and Lavender Latifolia, which is Portuguese lavender. Lavandula X Intermedia Grosso and Lavandula X Intermedia Provence are two cultivars of Lavandula X Intermedia. And a mutation plant, mutations are also known as spores or chimeras. They are genetic changes that may affect the appearance of the foliage, flowers, fruit, or stems. Vegetative propagation is used to maintain desirable characteristics. Plants are often prone to reversion, meaning that part or all of the plants revert to its original form. An example of a mutated plant could be camellia flowers with specks and stripes. So the native word of the day and others are natives. And I will list those on Facebook later on today.
Yes, definitely.
There you go. And so if you'd like to give us a call, wait till the end of the half hour. We have one of my most favorite people coming on today. I've known Gary for a long time. He is tremendous. He is amazing. He has wonderful plant knowledge, and he keeps it real. That's what I like about it.
And he's really honest about it, too. He's like, yeah, no, that's not going to work. And I'm just like, oh, thank you so much for being honest with me.
Exactly. And so he is coming on. We're going to be talking about tomatoes. If you want to grow amazing tomatoes in containers, then you want to stay tuned for Gary Bachman. So the newsletter is coming out this next week, the April newsletter. If you would like to get it, it is free. And I do not spam, and I do not sell your email addresses. So you can go to my website, which is www.shehe-consulting.com. And when you get on it, it will say subscribe to the newsletter. And you just put in your email and your zip code, and you are set to go, and you'll receive next month's newsletter. Also, too, on Facebook, we would love for you to like our page and give us a 5-star rating. That would be wonderful, and let more and more people know about Better Lawns and Gardens. Tell your friends and tell your family. And you could also, Lizzie, where can they hear if they miss any of any show?
Yes.
Where can they hear the podcast?
If you go to betterlawns.com, you can play all of the episodes that we've had. It's very simple. If you have the iHeartRadio app, you can download that and search Better Lawns and Gardens. But yeah, the website is betterlawns.com, and it's at the bottom. Also, I put up Teresa's newsletter after she's already released it, but I do a little clip, so it's not the whole newsletter, but at the bottom of each article you can click to actually go on and sign up for Teresa's newsletter.
So you'll get what I put in the newsletter is my plant of the month, Teresa's plant of the month. I give you design tips. I give you what to do each month in your garden and landscape. And then also my landscape malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. So we're going to be back with Dr. Gary Bachman, Real World Gardening, the Heritage Urban Nano Farm. We're going to be right back. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Joining us right now is Dr. Gary Bachman. Gary holds a BS and an MS from Clemson University, and he earned his PhD in horticulture from The Ohio State University. Along with his wife, Katie, Dr. Bachman is now retired. He now resides in Mississippi, where they manage the Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm. They're dedicated to educating others for cultivation and preserving local grown produce. As urban farmers, Dr. Bachman advocates for sustainable living and preparedness, like for a zombie apocalypse. He offers expert advice online and the internet for both small-scale and large-space gardening, including container gardening and harvest preservation. I saw one of Gary's videos, quick one-minute videos last week, that I thought was brilliant, and I asked Gary to come on today to share his extensive experience, real-life wisdom with Better Lawns and Gardens, and we get to discuss the new chili variety at his house. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. It is fantastic to talk to you and, of course, Lizzie this morning.
I so appreciate that. You're just a wonder. I'm always amazed at what you get into and what you do. And so let's start off, though. How did your urban nano farm, do this winter?
Everything with the freeze, we had low 20s. And everything except some of the citrus that couldn't make it into the garage because I have too many citrus in containers and I just didn't have room. And so some of them, it was kind of survival of the fittest for a few days. Had to do some pruning. Looks like everybody survived A-okay.
Oh, that's wonderful news. That is great. So I've subscribed to your YouTube channel, and I find that the Gary Grows videos such entertainment, and it's fun, and you learn a lot. How do you decide what to film and assist gardeners with?
Well, Teresa, there really isn't a grand game plan. It's really, my videos are what I'm doing in my garden, and it just happens to be whatever particular day. Some of the videos aren't posted, immediately. As I go through editing and things, but it's all just my general garden activities, and just to try to share, I'm a regular gardener too. I fail sometimes, I succeed a lot of times, but I share everything, and that was the goal of that, to make gardening approachable and easy. And I always say, you're not killing plants, you're not gardening.
There
so
you
not
go.
Everything survives. So that's kind of my philosophy on that.
Well, they are great, and I liked your tomato seedling video last week. I used to think extra seedlings should be discarded, but your approach was amazing. Why did you stop snipping your new tomato plants?
Well, I'll tell you, I grow so many, and it was, I got to the point of, you know, how can I grow more in limited space? And so I saw a tip by Joe Lample of densely planting tomato seedlings in cells, and how to take those dense plantings out and separate them, plant those, and be able to grow more tomatoes or peppers starting off in a smaller footprint. That was really all it was.
Well, they're great. So tell us what you do with your tomatoes. What will they see on the video?
Well, the what I do with the tomatoes are I'm producing seed for my seed store, Heritage Cottage Seeds, and right now I'm in the evaluation mode of micro or dwarf tomatoes. I'm fascinated by micro tomatoes. These small plants, full-sized plant that's only 18 inches by 18 inches, way easier to take care of than a big climbing cherry tomato plant. And they're perfect for patios and porches and anybody with a small. That's kind of my goal is, how can you maximize a small garden space and still have a big garden?
I think that's wonderful. It's important information because people don't know what size containers to use. So
right.
not everybody buys a new container, and recycled containers are great. But with your recent video, you said it, size matters. And so how deep should a tomato or a pepper container be?
I think, personally, a tomato needs about 1 cubic foot of space for the roots per plant. And the example I gave in that video was, a 5-gallon bucket is perfect. I also showed, a 7-gallon container is even better. But a 5-gallon bucket is a perfect way to get started growing tomatoes. And you learn that maybe that's big enough for your garden. But I think if you can grow in a bigger pot, it's always the best solution.
So how many seeds would you put in a 5-gallon bucket?
Oh, well, I wouldn't start off in a 5-gallon bucket. I'd start off in six packs, but just a single plant in a 5-gallon bucket.
Okay, so
And that's for peppers or tomatoes.
Okay, so could they use Dixie cups or something like that for seed starting?
To start off with? Oh, heck yes. I'm in some pepper growing groups on social media where people swear by red Solo cups. That's the only way that you need that you can use to start pepper plants.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, so what about vining eggplants? Because they're going to get taller. And so what size container would you use for those?
Again, it's that minimum of a 5-gallon container system, whether it's a small tomato or a big tomato. That's kind of like that magic volume. I think the five gallon volume for the roots is perfect. If you got a vining tomato, vining eggplant, determinate, tomatoes. I don't think it matters, but that root zone environment is the important part.
Wonderful. So tell us, Gary, what are some of your best management practices for growing healthy spring vegetables?
Oh, first of all, wait to plant until after your frost date. I always wait until we get to the 90% frost-free date, which is coming up here on April 1st.
Okay.
And that's when I'm going to be planting tomatoes. Second, consistent watering. If you're growing in containers, that plant relies on you. And so you need to keep that root zone consistently moist. Especially important for tomatoes, because if that plant goes through wet, dry cycling, you're going to get blossom end rot.
Yeah.
And one of the best things you can prevent blossom end rot is to keep that root zone consistently moist, not sopping wet and not dry, consistently moist. That means maybe you have to water every day.
Right.
But that's the beauty of growing in a big container. It holds more water, and you may not have to water as often as if you're growing that tomato in a one-gallon container.
Right, because I'm telling people, if your plant is wilting every day and it seems like it needs more water, you may not have enough potting soil or soil in the container. And so what should they do if a container is root-bound? How do they know that?
Well, you gave a great example. The plant could be wilting, you know, very frequently. A lot of times what you can do with that, especially in the spring of the year, pop that plant out of that small container and put it in a big container. And the solution could be as easy as that.
That's great.
Also, the correct potting mix. Don't put soil, regular dirt, in a container and expect to have success. I always recommend professional potting mixes or container mixes like ProMix, MetroMix, Sunshine, anything that you can get. Primarily, you're going to get these from your independent garden center.
Yeah, that's great. Now, so just for clarification, because we talked we just touched on it. So your latest frost date, let me say that, your latest frost date is April 1st, but that's because you're in zone 8? And then
we're in zone 9A here on the Mississippi coast.
Okay, because our latest frost date is March 15th here in Orlando.
Right. Yeah, now March 15th for us is a 50% chance of frost.
Right.
And I don't like to roll the dice. I'd rather wait 2 weeks and be pretty much assured I'm going to have to worry about covering.
Right. And so anywhere in the country where they're hearing this, contact your local extension office.
Yep.
They will tell you what zone you're in, or you can just Google your city and say hardiness zone this, last frost date, and they'll get that information. So that's
exactly
great. So last week I was talking about pests, nematodes and leaf miners. And how can gardeners who use containers, how can they keep the insects from getting being a pest in their container garden?
Well, you know, that's just the thing. Whether you grow in the ground or in the container, you're still going to have the same pest pressures. So growing in containers doesn't make you immune from leaf miners or the other pests. It's being observant and being aware and watching for signs of that pest, and then treating appropriately. You know, you talked about the leaf miners, and they make the little trails in the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
When you start seeing that, it's the perfect time to go out and use spinosad. I love Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew.
Mm-hmm.
Spinosad is organic, but it's also translaminar, where it'll give you about 21 days of effective prevention or control of leaf miners versus BT, which has a longevity of 1 or 2 days because it photodegrades.
So, Gary, I have a couple more questions. Can you stay through the break? We've got a hard break coming up.
Sure.
Okay, super.
I'm happy to.
Okay, wonderful. So give us your website where they can see the videos and tell them how to contact you.
Okay. The videos, the easiest is on YouTube, my YouTube channel, which is Real World Gardening. There's way too many Gary Grows out there, so I had to come up with a name that was kind of unique. But Real World Gardening, Facebook is Gary Grows at Heritage Cottage, and my email is gary@gary-grows.com is the easiest way to get
there. You go. I'm going to put all those links on Facebook, but I've got a few more questions to ask you about vegetables and chili, and we're going to be right back if it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm talking with Dr. Gary Bachman, Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm. He has wonderful, great varieties of Heritage Cottage seeds and plants. His knowledge is amazing. We've been talking about tomatoes, growing tomatoes in containers and other vegetables. So, Gary, I wanted to just touch on the containers and talk about drainage. When we're talking about using 5 or 5 gallon buckets, we need to make sure that it has good drainage. How do we do that?
Primarily, I'll tell you, it's using the proper container mix. You know, that there's a lot of advice out there to put rocks and styrofoam and cans and things in the bottom of your containers to increase drainage. Well, it really doesn't work that way. If you have the right container mix, let me put it this way. Professional container mix is engineered to have the proper water holding capacity for containers.
Okay.
That's why it's called professional container mix.
Okay.
If you don't want to fill a big pot with, it's expensive. I'll just be honest with you. What you can do is put large chip pine bark in the bottom and the good potting mix on top, and that stratifies the container, and that's what a lot of big nurseries are doing now. Some of the newest container media research is talking about stratification of the mix in big pots.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of my bigger pots, I put big chunk pine bark in the bottom.
Right. Okay.
But that doesn't improve drainage. That's all just root zone health wise. That's all that is.
Okay. Super. So now in January, you wrote about a fruit variety that is named after 3 Central Florida cities. And I would love you to briefly talk about growing them and how they're doing now after the freeze. So you talked about limequats. So tell us about them.
Okay. Limequats. I first heard of limequats about 4 years ago from my old classmate, Jenks Farmer. You've had him on your show.
Yes, I know Jenks.
And he was selling limequats. And I'm going, I'm collecting citrus. I'd never heard of a limequat. And it fruited. And it was like a little oblong kumquat that tasted like a lime. It was orange. And then I started doing some research on it. And then I found another variety called Eustace. And the Eustace limequat. And evidently, back in the early 1900s, the USDA at the Eustace Research Center that they had, they were breeding or crossing kumquats with key limes, trying to increase cold hardiness in key limes. And they came up with 3 selections. Eustace, which is round and looks kind of like a key lime. They came up with Tavares, which was the variety that I got from Jenks, which is a little long, oblong and orange. And then there's a third one called Lakeland. And I've been searching for Lakeland for several years, and I finally found a source of that. So I've got all 3 of these really old selections from the USDA there in from Central Florida growing in my yard. And the nice thing about it is the kumquat part of that equation gives the key lime some cold hardiness. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, as far as, you know, marketability, you know, they really didn't take off from a production standpoint,
uh-huh.
but they're out there, and I think it's a citrus curiosity. Let me put it that way, and something fun to grow. And I'm probably the only person in Mississippi that have all 3 of these selections growing in my yard. So I like to think that, at least. Let me put it that way.
And so you get you do get limequats from them.
Do you get limequats? They all look a little different. They have different appearances, and you know, so they all taste like lime. And because of the kumquat and the kumquat variety that they used was Nagami, the peel is also edible, which tastes like lime.
Oh.
So it's fun.
Margaritas, here we come. That's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now Heritage Cottage sells chili seeds of different varieties of peppers, but you have a new chili in your household. Let's talk about chili.
A new chili. There's I'm trying new varieties of chilies all the time for Heritage Cottage Seeds to kind of expand on the, you know, the unusual types.
But what about the fir type?
Yeah, okay, so you have a live one inside your house now, a new one. Your chili.
A live?
A fir.
Oh, good. Man, that just went right over my head. Whoosh. I'm in plant mode. Now, the new chili that we have growing inside is my new rescue dog named Chili.
Oh.
We finally decided after we lost Pansy, who we'd had for 13 years last fall, it was time to get another dog. And so Chili is our new rescue dog. She has her own Facebook page called Chili the Heritage Seed Farm Dog. So you can check that out. And it was time. She's a handful, let me tell you that.
Aww.
And I'm getting way more than 10,000 steps a day walking her, but it's nice to have, you know, the ticky-tack of nails in the house again.
Yes, I'm so sure. She is so sweet looking. And so I was really pleased to see that. And does she eat peppers, do you know?
I don't know. I know that she has been on the hunt for anoles.
Uh-huh.
This week out in the yard, so I mean, maybe she's not vegan or anything, you know, or vegetarian, so she could be out, you know, hunting for her own dinner. But
well, my
Scotty
Sheila, she would go out to the garden, and I was at the kitchen sink when, and I'm looking down, and she's eating. She's pulling the Scotch bonnets off of the peppers, and she's chomping down on the Scotch bonnets, and she liked them. Oh my goodness gracious, it was something. So Gary, tell everybody where they can find your YouTube channel and where they can get more videos and your website and seeds.
Sure. The seeds is heritagecottageseeds.com. Pretty straightforward there. The videos, I'm kind of concentrating on YouTube now, and my videos, you can go to Real World Gardening. And you can see all the videos, including the my 10 tomato rules, the shorts that I posted, going through day by day. Facebook is Gary Grows at Heritage Cottage. My website is gary-grows.com.
Thank you so much, Gary. We appreciate it. Give a hug to Katie. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, we'd love to talk to you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let your friends and family know about Better Lawns and Gardens and go to our Facebook page and just click like and give us 5 stars. We would love to have that. And so I wanted to say thank you to Gary Bachman. We had to clip it right there. We had a hard break, but Dr. Gary Bachman is wonderful. You can catch his YouTube channel videos. They're amazing. His 10 tips for growing tomatoes in containers is wonderful. And you can go to his website, gary-grows.com. Gary-grows.com. And I will be posting the links on Facebook to everything we talked about today. So that will be cool. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. Sorry for all. We had a long segment there. And so how is your garden looking right now?
Right now, I have roses on the right-hand side of my porch.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So they're doing good. In the backyard, they're fine, except for my copper plant.
Uh-oh,
which
so, yeah.
I will be getting another one.
Okay. It did not
and
make
Lizzie
it through the winter.
Sent yeah. me a picture of her azalea that it froze because she didn't cover anything, lazy behind. But so I'm going to be getting one of those.
Oh, excellent.
She got it at Lowe's.
Excellent. But
I wanted to tell you about the rose bush I got.
Okay.
It is called Sweet Rose, and it's in pink.
Oh.
A very pretty dark pink.
Nice. And it's a drift rose?
Yes.
Okay.
And boy, does it smell.
Oh, that's what smells good.
Yeah, it smells really good. And I was walking down the stairs, so I decided to come up because, boy, are they crowing. They're all crowing this morning.
Oh, wonderful. I love the roosters.
Thank you. I'm trying to get rid of them for the Mexicans, but I don't think they...
All right. So great. So are you, did you fertilize them, or how are you taking care of your drift roses?
I'm going to put them in Black Cow.
Excellent. Excellent. Yep. All right, hon. Take care. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Bill in Ormond Beach. Good morning, Bill. How can we help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I've got this desert rose that had some soft areas due to the cold. And so I cut back. It's been in my garage for a while. I thought I'd cut back enough, but, you know, feeling it today, it's like, okay, it's a little soft there. So I just cut it off and put cinnamon on the cut.
Okay.
Is there anything else? Should I just kind of, I guess, let it caudex, or, I mean, not caudex, but harden over before I put it on dirt?
So what I would want to make sure is that it's getting enough full sun. Okay, so it needs totally full sun. I would ease up on the water a little bit if you're watering it. And the cinnamon's good. That's going to prevent the infection or fungus to start. And just fertilize it. You may want to give it some fertilizer just to give it a little push.
Okay, because it's been, you know, sitting on its own, no dirt, no nothing in the garage for weeks.
Yeah.
And so...
Once you put it in the dirt, it's going to then start to produce roots. But okay. it's something that could grow outside. You know, it doesn't need the soil per se. It's an epiphyte, and a succulent too as well. So it can stay out of the pot for a little while. But once you put it in a pot, put it in full sun for at least 8 hours, it'll start to just take off.
Okay. Same thing with plumerias. I mean, if I feel soft, I definitely have to cut those off.
Yeah, I would cut them diagonally. I would, because that's just it's not going to harden back up again. Okay, so, you know,
I didn't want it to travel down the stem.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Nice to talk to you. That's great. That's Bill from Ormond Beach, and he has some wonderful plant collections. And so we definitely want to thank Dana Venrick for coming on in the first hour talking about the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival today, 9 a.m. through 3 p.m. this afternoon. That is downtown Main Street, DeLand, which has lots of beautiful restaurants, vintage stores, antiques, and clothing. It's a great place to visit, with also the Outdoor Art Festival, too, is going on at the same time. Free parking, free admission, plenty of plant vendors. If you would like to get native plants and native seeds, which is very hard to come by, the native seeds are wonderful. You can go and get them today. We have lots of great speakers on today from the University of Florida, Volusia County, all the environmental agencies. It's going to be a great day for getting educated on growing native plants and growing sustainably. Dana's talking about gardening at home, and he'll be on early, just in a few minutes there. He'll be getting on talking. I am speaking at 11 o'clock for, Florida Pollinators Gone Wild, and lots of great information that I'll give you today. And I like to see you because, you know, putting a face with the voices always really helps. And I love when we went down to Peterson's Nursery last week that we got to see some of our listeners and Ira. So Ira and then Brenda. And so it was wonderful to put together some of the faces with the names.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's always good to see.
And so my newsletter's coming out. And if you would like to get the newsletter, it's free. I do not spam or sell it. And you can go to she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, and just sign up for it there. Also, too, if you would like to know any more about our Art and Garden Tours, Art and Bloom Garden Tours.com. Art and Garden Tours, Garden, Art and Bloom Garden Tours.com. There you go. And there, and so you can go on to it. Just Google Teresa Watkins and Art and Bloom, and it'll come up. But we have wonderful garden tours still available for this year. We're sold out of the Revolutionary Garden Tour and the Chelsea Flower Show. We have a couple of seats left, spaces on our Newport, and then also the Buffalo Garden Walk and France. We're going to the Artiste Gardens of France in August. And then we're going to the Brandywine Valley in September. And then New Orleans in October, which will be lots of fun. And it's artandbloomgardentours.com.
Yes, then you get all your pricing there and see if you need a passport. Because one of them that y'all are going to slide into Canada, right?
Yeah, we're going to Buffalo, New York.
You do need a passport to go into Canada.
Because we're going to the Niagara Falls on the Canadian side.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can still get in with your birth certificate, but then you're looking at a 2 to 3 hour wait.
No.
From what I understand.
Yeah, so. You need a passport to go now. So we just go and get right through. It's wonderful. So we'd love to have you join us. We go to some beautiful gardens, some private gardens, and we're already getting our waiting list for 2027. So we just want to get in there, and we'd love for you to travel with us.
Now, when will you be releasing the 27? So this way,
they'll be coming out probably in the next month or so to get on the waiting list.
Okay,
so by May 1st,
so exciting.
And then too, I also want to thank Dr. Gary Bachman for coming on. And it's so funny that he named his dog Chili, and he thought we were talking about chili pepper seeds.
That was sweet.
I love that. So sweet. So she is. Just a wonderful dog. You can go onto Facebook and see it. But Gary-Grows.com. Gary-Grows.com is the website.
Yep.
And I'll be posting them on our Facebook page too as
and
well.
And today is a beautiful day. And we're supposed to have a lot of wind either this afternoon or tomorrow. So look around your yard and kind of pretend that a little bit of is like almost like a hurricane season. So if you see stuff that can blow around, you may just want to go ahead. We're not having a tornado or hurricane per se, but it's supposed to get like 30 mile an hour winds.
Even higher on the coast. They're talking about that. And it's a good time to look at your trees and everything too as well for hurricane season. Get it done now before hurricane season gets here. So we are going to have some storms this year, but we need the rain.
Yes.
And so we need the tropical storms and the rainfall. Because of the drought we've had for the last 2 years.
Yeah, and right now is a good time to go through if you have any of your hurricane supplies left from last year. If they're going to expire by the end of this year, you know, what we do is we go through and we donate them to like a local church.
So they can
start buying, you know, a case of water each week starting in April is usually what we do for our family. So
that is so true. So we are coming up on April and what to do in the month. Next week, we'll be talking about that, what to do in your landscapes. Just remember that if your irrigation goes on after you've had a couple of rainy events, that you need to make sure that your rain shutoff device is working. Okay, watering more and watering often is not good for the landscape. So those of you that are new to Florida, you only need 1.5 inches of water or rainfall a week for your landscape. You do not need the inches and inches, and you do not need to be watering or irrigating every day or even 3 times a week, even 2 times a week. You don't need to do it. So the less you can water your lawn, the healthier it's going to be. And so we appreciate it. We'll see you here next week. Come see me at the Florida Wildflower Garden and Festival in DeLand this week. So I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. That's it. I got to go. Cup of tea time. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of the show or want to recap this, you can at betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.